that. Going back to the phone line, 103.
Hey,
we got DJ Hilson on the line. He could not be here to do his show today. The phone lines have been blowing up today, DJ, because of a particular topic that we've been discussing. Real quickly, before we go into you updating on updating us on what's happening along the lakeshore, you've got to be one of the busiest prosecuting attorneys ever in the land of America. But yeah. There was a video that showed up on social media a couple of days ago, and I think it's had probably close to 7-8 million views now, of a young lady in a hospital bed holding an infant child, a newborn, and the father is trying to hold the baby. And she won't allow him to hold the baby because, well, for whatever reason. But she says in the video she was being taped, I'm assuming unbeknown to her, and she says, no, you said you didn't want to be with us. You said you were going to leave, so why don't you just leave? We don't need you. And he says, I said I was not going to be with you. Well, anyway, she refuses to let him hold his newborn child. And this is all taking place in a hospital. And so the question was, is it ever justifiable? Who are you harming when that's your disposition, when you don't want the child to you don't want the father to see the child or to be a part of the child's life? So I posted it on my Facebook page, and people have been literally writing paragraphs in their response, in their responses.
Well, leave it to you to find a hot social issue.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, and I think that there needs to be a conversation about it, and maybe we need to even do so in some sort of public setting, because sometimes people don't know. And I think maybe if we continue to educate even young brothers on the fact that it's not really cool to go around having babies here and there and there and here, then we probably will avoid even this conversation in the future.
John, I agree with you 100%. I mean, obviously not knowing all the background of that situation, but it sounds like early on, the father told the mother, hey, look, I'm out. And she stuck to her guns in that. And quite honestly, I fought her for that. If she's got the discipline and the ability to handle that situation on her own and can raise that child right, because this guy is going to flip-flop on whether or not he's going to be involved, all the kudos to her.
Okay. Interesting. Very, very interesting. People are, of course, there are lots of opinions, and it's a hot topic. It's very controversial. We just heard from a guy on the other side of the state who has two fathers groups, and he likened it, if a woman is bitter with a man and she refuses the man to be a part of the child's life, and he has to go through hoops to do so. And I know that that's where the court system comes into play, where you can,
yep,
you can petition and you can do all those things. And maybe that's how it should be done anyway, between two people who are not husband and wife. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't. I'm not the. My opinion is just an opinion. But
I guess from my standpoint, obviously, I want young people to have fathers in their lives, and you and I both know that that's really important. That's critical.
Yes.
I also want to make sure that they're good fathers. In other words, nobody's perfect. I mean, I'm a father, and I guarantee you, I am not perfect. I learn every day where I can get better. But I'm not sure what's worse, not having a father or having a father that really isn't a father.
Yeah. Good point. That's a good point. Sometimes that does even more damage, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting way to look at it. Well, you've had a busy week. You've had
a busy week.
First, you're the chair of the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club, Muskegon Lakeshore, had the big gala of this past Saturday absolutely phenomenal in every single way. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was. Well, thank you. I mean, I had, listen, I mean, all the credit goes to Bob Skolnick and Jenny Lockhart. They worked their tails off to make that a fantastic, spectacular event. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better first-year event. I mean, the weather cooperated. The band was phenomenal. The fireworks were just awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And we raised some money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was an incredible, immeasurable evening. It was just one of those things where everything was in alignment. I wrote on Facebook, and I know you've not had an opportunity to get on there much recently, but I wrote, it was one of those rare nights when every single thing was perfect as it relates to an event. That was rare. It was just one of those rare things. So it's like all the gods were in alignment that night. It was just perfect. Unbelievable. So congratulations. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, congratulate yourself, too, my friend. I mean, you sit on the board, and you were there looking as fine as ever. I mean, I think the beat listeners need to understand that it's very difficult for me to be in the same room as John Covington, because I try my best to look my best, and then I get in the room with Covington, and I got to go back to my closet.
Oh, wow. You're funny. You were pretty sharp, DJ. You were pretty sharp. Well, I've got Chauncey Williams in the studio, and he agrees that, you know, you're a pretty sharp guy, don't you, Chauncey? Yeah, Chauncey. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, last week at the 2 weeks ago at the Young Brothers.
Yeah, he's always presidential.
Yeah. Well, he had a tux on the other night and had dance moves.
He was like Justin Timberlake then.
Yeah. That's who he looked like. Yeah. He could probably sing a tune or two.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
You guys are too kind.
So listen, update us, and I don't know if you guys have heard, but a judge has ruled recently, as in like the last hour or so, that Bill Cosby will stand trial, criminal trial, for three counts of indecent assault for three incidents in 2004. So, what is Bill Cosby in his late 70s?
Yeah.
Who's going to be standing trial. DJ, what is there such a thing as, for those who are listening, in your opinion, and I'm curious about your opinion too, Chauncey. Let's go to Chauncey first. Public pressure, public opinion. Do you think that the public outrage as it relates to Bill Cosby could possibly, even if it's just a smidget, have any bearing whatsoever on such charges eventually happening? And I'm going to go ahead, before you answer that, I'm going to go ahead and give you my opinion. I believe that Zimmerman, can't think of his first name right now, I don't know that he would have ever actually been charged, because it had been so long
ago,
if there had not been the public outrage as it relates to the Trayvon Martin situation. I just don't know. I can't say, you know what, I believe Zimmerman would have been charged. What do you think as it relates to Bill Cosby? Now, I'm not saying that he's guilty or innocent. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that,
I mean, because of his influence and his celebrity, I mean, what he did and the image he built up for so many years and the role he's played in the urban community, is like Bill Cosby, and things just kept on happening, just keep on coming out. So when you think about it, and he got to have a jury of people that's, who they going to find that don't know about it? You know how sometimes people, they pull people for the jury.
Yeah, it's hard to
not have an opinion.
Yeah.
To be biased. I mean,
to not be biased. Yeah,
he's in a tough space, because for one, his influence worked for so many years to benefit him for having this positive image, and then one chink in the armor,
Yeah.
Or two or three or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's
turning
to
six
for.
And yeah. seven and eight and nine and 10 and 12. DJ, your thoughts?
Well, you know, listen, I mean, I would like to think that public opinion doesn't weigh too heavy, but, you know, I think I'd be naive in saying that it didn't play a role in some of the things that you guys are talking about. You know, difficulty is, you know, from a public official standpoint, like for me, for example, there are times when you're reviewing an investigation and you know based on your training and your experience that the possibility of coming out with a conviction is going to be very, very slim. Yet, you know, it's a hot potato, and a lot of times, you know, if there is that slim chance that you're going to be able to get a conviction, and you want to give, for example, maybe a victim a day in court because they deserve that, then we're going to do that, and we're going to do our best to put on a case that is going to be presentable to a judge or a jury in order to obtain that conviction. But you know, we tell folks that. Up front that, you know, here are the difficulties, here are the barriers, here are the hurdles, just so you understand that going in, but we're going to fight for you because that's what justice deserves. And so there are those cases. You know, as far as Cosby is concerned, you know, the fact that he's been essentially bound over to stand trial, that the standard of proof to get to that level is very, very low. You do not have to have a whole lot of evidence to get to that point. So the fact that he's bound over for trial doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
It would take some incredible piece of exculpatory or some sort of evidence that would sway a judge to make a determination that there wasn't probable cause to believe a crime was committed in order for that to not happen.
But, you know, some of these cases have actually, I mean, some of these charges, though, And some of the scenarios existed long before now, which is the only reason I raised the question. Long before now, like some of this stuff has been presented. From what I've read some of the old transcripts from a couple of cases prior to this most recent announcement, and so a lot of this stuff is not new. And the whole matter was that. There was question whether or not the agreement that was previously made should be honored. And that agreement was if Bill Cosby, there was a deal in essence. Basically, there was a deal. I don't have all the specifics right now, but that was basically what the case is based on, was whether or not that deal should stand. And like I said, I don't have the specifics in front of me. Because they said
too.
That it wasn't recorded or that it didn't go on the record, and so they brought this back and I'm not saying one way or the other Bill Cosby is guilty or innocent. I'm certainly not going to sit on the mic and say, oh, I don't think he's guilty. I'm not gonna. That would be irresponsible of me, and I'm irresponsible enough at home according to my family. So I don't want to in my professional walk, I certainly don't want to do that. So, DJ, bring us up to date on what's happening along the lakeshore.
Well, you know, we're still working on that investigation that led to the charges last week of Mr. Willis. And you know, I'm anticipating in the very near future having another statement to be made on the progress of the investigation and where we're at. So, in fact, I think that may even happen tomorrow.
Wow!
And so, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to move this forward in an effort to bring justice not only to that 16-year-old victim, but also to hopefully some of these other open investigations as well.
So he's been upgraded as a person of interest in the Jessica Herring disappearance.
Yes.
Okay, and possibly some another incident.
Yes, the Rebecca Bletch homicide, which was
the
jogger out on the north end of the county.
Yes,
would have been July of 2014.
Now, if in fact what's alleged is true, this particular individual, it sounds, had a very elaborate
plan to do
scheme, plan, setup to find unassuming people as victims. You know, when you think about a woman out jogging,
she had to do that as a routine.
As yeah,
that's a routine habit.
Yeah. Yeah, just staying in shape, staying healthy.
Or showing up at somebody's job when they get off work, when they get off work, things like that.
So. Yeah, just it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand. Now, there's also a case, DJ, I know you don't have much time left, but there's also another case that Brandon Davis tried regarding I don't know if he tried both guys or if they were tried separately or not, but the situation with the situation in the Muskegon Heights where
Love Boy?
Yes.
Yes. Martell.
Yes. Yeah. Where the person was charged with murder, who was in the actual vehicle with the lady who was shot.
Yeah, the lady was killed.
Yeah.
I had that case. Okay. That was my case.
Okay. Okay. Well, I saw where just recently I thought that, well, maybe MLive got it wrong, but they said that Brandon Davis was the prosecuting attorney in the case along with, well, not that case. I'm talking about the one of the guys who did the shooting into the vehicle. Not the actual case well, with the.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they said he got jail time. And that's it. Just serve. Here, jail time.
Yeah, but right. Right, I was just inquiring about that, and I think Oaks represented the young man.
I went to college for Oaks.
Yeah, that just happened, like very recently. Was that this week also? That was because they were arguing. The prosecution was arguing that there shouldn't be a deal. I just wanted some clarity on the case. If you're familiar with the specifics of that case,
there was. I mean, I think we're getting our facts straight, though, mixed up here, because the case that you're talking about, I think, has to do with Jeremy Morton as the defense. I mean, I guess I'm unfamiliar with what you're talking about.
Okay, well, the just real briefly, the situation in the Heights where the guy was charged with the murder of the lady who was in the vehicle with him, even though he did not do the shooting.
Correct, yep.
The same case, but the people, the young men who were teenagers,
actually,
basically.
Did the shooting.
Oh, that's it. Oh, okay. I thought that they were charged with having a gun. Okay, maybe I have the cases mixed up.
No, they were charged with having a gun.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just read something recently. I thought it was today that I had read something in MLive about that case, but I may be all mixed up though. So we'll get the information straight, and then we'll pose those questions at a later time about that case. I just had some questions about it, but I guess I should get the right case, huh?
Well, listen, man. I mean, you know, we see so many different things.
Yeah.
I wish I had the ability to keep my hands on everything.
Right. Well, no, you're good, but you're not Superman.
I'm not Superman.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Real good. Well, we thank you for your time, DJ. Well, you don't know if you'll be back next week or not, or when you'll be back in the studio.
I'm not scheduled to be back for another couple of weeks. Today was my normal radio show.
Right. Well, we're holding it down for you.
Listen, I couldn't ask for two better guys to hold it down.
We appreciate you, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. DJ Hilson, prosecuting attorney, Muskegon. I love the fact that he kept that question real.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I would like to say that public opinion has nothing to do with it, but I wouldn't be realistic.
Yeah, that's the reason why they probably brought it back, because the deal was made, but then all these other charges being dropped, they're like, we got to see if we can get something.
Yeah.
On this so-called... Yeah.
And all these women are outraged, and these women's groups, and everybody's calling, you know, hang them, crucify them.
But he made a deal a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing was that there was a deal. But they're saying, no, it wasn't really a deal, and it wasn't recorded, and they can't find records, or there's some question regarding the deal. my question would be, what happens when you make a deal and then they say there is no deal?
Man,
then somebody died. One of the prosecuting attorneys died at that time. Yep, they died and something. And so, yeah, it's a little.
There's no statement.
It's a little murky.
Yeah.
It's a little murky. It's a little murky.
It's still going to be hard to get a conviction still.
Bill Cosby looks like he's going to be on trial for indecent assault. 3 charges announced earlier today by a judge. Also, when we come back a little later in the show, I don't know if you've heard about the Supreme Court overturning a case where someone was convicted by an all-white jury, and the Supreme Court agreed, even though I hear, what's your boy's name, Thomas, on the Supreme Court?
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence, even though I hear he disagreed with this. But anyway, the Supreme Court ruled that blacks were kicked off of the jury pool intentionally.
That's what I'm worried about with Bill Cosby. So you don't know what could happen.
Yeah, yeah. Because your jury has a lot to do with it, obviously. Like, so
you
say, anyway,
I'm not convicting no one or anything, but you got to think about it. That public opinion is very powerful.
Well, the Supreme Court, this went all the way to the Supreme Court.
And they overturned it.
And they overturned it. The Supreme Court said, no, 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 you did purposely take black folks off of the jury in hopes of XYZ. Now, what they did go on to say was is that they said, this has nothing to do with future cases. This is for this particular case. You know, sometimes the Supreme Court will rule on something, and then that sets the precedent.
That's right. And then everybody else got to follow that.
Yep.
Let's use this. I can't remember what's the word I'm looking for, but they always can go back to that case.
Yeah. And they use it as a case study.
Yeah, case study. Yep. They take the research from that, and then they can
Mention it by the numbers.
That's right.
You know, in case such, 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 such. And that's what people.
Cite it.
That's what lawyers do.
Yes, that's research.
Yeah, that's what they do. And that's what they do when they have an argument in a courtroom is they bring up cases like that one. But they said that this is not to be set as a precedent. But in this particular case, that's what happened. But the Supreme Court said, yeah, definitely this was, in fact, the case. I wonder if it'll set a precedent anyway. We'll see.
Oh, it will.
We're asking the question today whether or not it's justifiable ever to keep a man from his child. And this is in regards to a video that surfaced on Media Takeout of a woman, young lady, holding her infant child in the hospital bed, brand newborn. The father comes in, apparently has someone take a video on the sly of the conversation between the two. She refused to let him hold his child.
A newborn.
She refused. I think it's had like 7 million views.
And you say your question was, you said,
is it ever justifiable?
For now, and I see his child. I mean, I always, like working as a mentor, and like I don't have any kids, but I always
try to. Oh, you got kids.
Yeah, brother. But I know I don't have any blood.
You don't have any biological, yeah, but you got kids.
But my underlying question all the time is, to find out who you truly are is, you got to have a relationship with your father. It has to be, whether you're going in the right direction or the wrong direction, he'll be able to tell you how to break that generational
curse,
how to break it. Because
that demon.
Yeah, it's things like, it just come through us as men. You know, like it can be drinking, it can be problems with abusive, with anger. Your father's always able to say, son, don't be like me and do this because this led me a path down this way. And a lot of times I call it the him again phenomenon. I made it because you can be in a situation growing up, and if you don't have that connection with your father, you'll end up being just like him. In a negative way, you could be, if he don't be there to stop you. So you gotta have that male figure, that father that knows. Either if you follow somebody around, I think I said this to you before, a man at the age of 38, I'm 38 years old, and just say that I failed at everything. I either went to jail, I did all bad things. And you follow me around, you can learn something from me. And just having a conversation with me. If I was your father, you still would have love for me. And you'll still have a connection with me. Because when you look at me, you'll see a reflection of yourself. And then the love will still be there. So I wouldn't see no case where your father should not be in your life. But I can see cases where the abuse can cause the relationship to be limited. That you can't do a man like that. Remove access of his child from him. Even for the fathers that they call deadbeats that don't want to be bothered with their kids, you should still try to pursue your father. Because a lot of times, if you look at us, our culture, you know, coming from an African culture, you got to think about a lot of families who's broken up for profit, you know, for capitalism. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this slave is going over here. I'm going to move him, and this man going to raise your child. But, and it just kept on repeating itself. And you see Ray Lewis, he played for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. His family goes back to where his father left him. Then his father left him. Mm-hmm. His father left him. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a generation. 40 years, right?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about four generations.
4 decades. Four generations.
Yeah, that's 40 years. So like almost 200 years of people leaving their son. But the whole time, Ray Lewis yearned for a relationship with his father. When his father finally told him that drugs and alcohol was driving me out, son, it took Ray to come in and say, I just want to have a conversation with you. Don't ask me for no money, no anything. I just need to know what's wrong with me. Can I talk to you, Daddy? You see that? Can I talk to you, Father? So then what they did, they went riding for like 6 hours. He took him to his daddy. Then he said, my daddy did me like this. So there's no reason to take a father outside of a child's life. You got to find a way, even for the dads that don't want to be around. I had a student talk to me. We had these conversations in class all the time because I work with the Freedom Writers Institute. And a question came up just like that. And a little girl in my class said, I want a relationship with my dad so bad. But for something that him and my mom did a long time ago, that he don't want to own me. And she said, I seen him in the store one time and say, hey, daddy. And he was buying something. He left it on the counter and left. And she asked me, say, what do I do? I said, well, you got to keep on pursuing him because it's something that he's been traumatized by, that one day he's going to have to confront it. So don't just put him in a position where he can't just love you no more. Always have a discerning heart to let him know that you love him. Because it could be something your mama did that's got him just so afraid. Like, I mean, it's just for the smallest thing. It can be in a money situation, or a lot of times people argue. And the worst thing a woman can do, if a man's not putting his hands on you, don't call the police. That's one thing brothers feel. When you call the police on them, if you're not putting his hands on you, work it out the best way you possibly can. But I can understand when it gets to the point with hands being put on people and things like that. But you got to get to the point that say, this is a relationship. We got a child in the middle of this. I can't talk about you on Facebook about how you're not meeting your child's life. I need to pull you aside and respect you as a man. You're not a boy. Even though some men make decisions that are not mature enough and they take things out of context of being a man, but they got children. So they did bring the life into this world that they're responsible for. And as our helpmate, even though they're not married, they need to be in the process of still building that child with what's biblically said, one woman, one man. That union still has to be there for that kid, because that kid's going to have constant confusion. We can have supplements like our Young Brothers program. Mm-hmm. We can have all the programs we want. Mm-hmm. But until the person that steps in that looks like me, whether it's a phone conversation, I talk to guys all the time that's incarcerated. I say, what's the biggest thing? They say, talking to my son on the phone. So that's like a reward.
Yeah.
It's a book I'm reading, and I told you, I sent you the book. It's called Righting My Wrongs by Shaka Sengor.
Yes.
And he had committed a murder, a second-degree murder. He shot somebody in a robbery, a drug robbery. And he killed the man in like 1990. It's in his book. And he got sentenced to like 19 years. And he's at the point he's like almost 2 or 3 years in. And his son that he had is about 11. He's starting to realize that his daddy gone. And his son writes him and say, Dad, I know what you are now. Like, why did you murder that man? And he said that started to change in him. His son asking him that very question. He started seeing himself as a monster. And that started him to make him change. That's why a man has to have a relationship with his kid, because sometimes we be under so much depression because we done missed out on so many opportunities and made so many mistakes. And when a kid come into our life and just look into those eyes of that baby or that person, say, that's me. And you know, the scripture says, out of the mouth of babes. So your child telling you like, Daddy, why did you kill that man? Or why did you do this? Kids going to ask the finest questions. So a woman has, she don't have no right to taking that child out of that man's life. She just don't. She got to figure out how to work it no matter what.
She's destroying the child.
Yeah, the child. That's the person. Yeah. It's a picture going on Facebook right now. I've seen it. And some people writing negative comments towards it. Some people are doing other things to it. But I'm looking at the picture. I ain't worried about the comments because a lot of times you can't worry about what people say.
Right, no.
But on the picture, it's a little boy. He got a cap and gown on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He got his mama. And she got her new fiance or husband there. Mm-hmm. And he got his daddy with his new fiance or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, what do you think of this picture? I say, I think that the mama and daddy got a relationship where they know that the child
is what's
important. Most important. I don't care if he got a new woman, if I got a new husband.
That's it.
This child is going to be raised. Yeah. And this man, he going to make sure he spend time with this son. I don't care what's going on in his life. He going to see his son. I don't care if he don't like me or not. I can put him out on the porch and say, when you pull up, he just beep the horn, he come out there. It has to get to that point, and that'll break down a lot of behaviors that we see in school in our boys and girls. Because a girl yearns to be daddy's little girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She'll do anything for to get approval from her father.
Mm-hmm.
And with the boys, your father say something to you one time, he can be locked up or whatever.
That's usually what it's going to be, typically.
Daddy say? Daddy got on orange and blues.
Yeah. But you, ain't seen daddy.
You ain't seen that. But if you talk to him and you hear that voice and you know that voice is the same spirit that created you.
It's amazing.
You're going to be in line. You're going to be in line.
Powerful.
So they don't have no reason. I just don't see it. Unless it's to the point where somebody mentally ill.
Yeah.
You know, and the court has ruled them. They incapacitated where they can't work with the child at all in the family.
Yeah. But we're talking about a newborn.
Yeah. No.
And there's no, people say, what about the history? What history?
What history?
The history, the baby just got here.
Baby needs his dad.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Love your kids more than you despise their father.
Give them what they need to be successful.
That's it. A guy, we just had a guy call in from Detroit.
I heard the end of that.
And he said he likens it to child neglect.
Yes. I'm agree with him.
And he said this is the definition. He has two fathers groups. Apparently in Detroit, he said, this is the definition of child neglect. If you look it up, this is what it says. That means you are depriving the child, I'm paraphrasing, of essential needs. A child needs its father.
Yes, its father. I got a great example.
We got to take a break.
Yep.
Okay, we got to take a break.
I get that example.
I want to hear it.
Yes.
This Chauncey Williams, this was not planned. He showed up to do something else. I pulled him into the studio, and I'm just sitting here like a student in class. I'm the big brother, but I'm just sitting here listening very intently. Don't forget your example when we come back.
Okay.
All right.